It's been 6 weeks since Hurricane Sandy hit, and many of the city's poorest residents are still living in conditions that have barely improved since the floodwaters washed through their homes. In the Rockaways in Queens, the water rose up on both sides of the narrow strip of land. When the storm surge hit, Jamaica Bay and the Atlantic Ocean met in the middle, and the water continued to rise. Many streets are still dotted with piles of debris, waterlogged sheetrock and insulation, furniture and bedding, timbers ripped from homes in need of near-total rehabilitation. The New York City Housing Authority's buildings in the Rockaways are home to 45,000 residents. In many buildings, electricity is still supplied by generators. Some have heat and hot water, others do not. This is one of the poorest parts of New York City, where 65% of the residents are living at 200% below poverty level.
Now, that was the status quo before Sandy hit.
Aria Doe is executive director of the Action Center at the Edgemere Housing Complex.
I leave it to your imagination, because statistics haven't been gathered, but the human eye can gather them as well. If your status quo was 200% below poverty level and you just lost a little that you had, then the status quo right now, post-Sandy, has to be at least 300% below, and that's probably being conservative. These folks lost everything. There were tsunami-like conditions. When we came to our center, we had actually lost everything under the center, and cars were swept into the building. There was a debris field out in front of it. The devastation in this community is huge.
Doe says before Hurricane Sandy, the Action Center provided community services like daycare and after-school programs.
Now we've become, if we don't arrive one day, someone may die. It's as simple as that. So it's not just helping you have a better life, but it is, we're fighting to keep people alive. And we're doing that by giving food, water, basic sanitary items, including toiletries, products to clean your home, blankets to keep you warm, coats to keep you warm, clothes that are not mold infested and mildewed stained, bedding that's not soaked with germs and sewage that flow through your apartment. We have a medical center that we opened up to keep folks alive. One day we sent three to the hospital in ambulances. We've stopped blood pressure from spiking to near coma conditions. We've helped babies who their asthma has been exacerbated because they're in mold infested apartments and they're having trouble breathing. So our bite of the elephant right now is the Ocean Bay houses, which consists of between 13,000 and 17,000 residents. And we are determined, which is why we've worked for 34 days straight or however many days since the storm, that no one's going to die on our watch.
Doe says 4 days after the storm hit, she saw a young woman standing online to get relief supplies and noticed that she was still wearing a hospital name bracelet.
And she had just given birth 2 days ago. And she was in that line, and I'm like, you can't be in the line. You're open. You just had a baby. And we took her and gave her formula and diapers and everything that she needed and sent her home. And she just came to me and said, you don't remember me, do you? And I've seen so many thousands since then. And she says, I have the baby here. And she still has nothing. And he's a month old. But when you look at him, he's so new and he's so beautiful. We gotta stay because it's his future too. He's not my child, but he is my child. He's not yours, but he is yours. And if we don't see hope in him, if we just see despair, then the new normal is the same old whole crap.
Down the hall from Doe's office is a makeshift community health clinic. Around the room are boxes of respirators, children's pain relievers, cough medicines, nebulizers, and surgical gloves. Many of the people who live here are on Medicare and Medicaid. Some who are lucky enough to have part-time jobs at big-box stores get no health insurance, but they make too much for government-assisted health programs and too little to afford private health care. Christina Maddox is an LPN who lives in the housing project and has been helping area residents with their medical needs since the first days of the storm. She says the aftermath of the flooding has brought more problems to a community that was already underserved.
The blood pressure has been off the charts, high sugar levels, respiratory issues, skin rashes, and now there's like nosebleeding outbreaks also.
Is this a result of exposure to mold?
It can be from the mold. It can be from something we're inhaling from outside. We're not sure yet.
What's the medical situation in terms of supplies? What kind of supplies are people looking for? What do they need?
They need their prescriptions refilled, or they need new prescriptions, period. A lot of the residents, they don't know where their doctors are right now. Are they unable to get to a pharmacy?
What kind of outside assistance have you gotten? Has the city, FEMA, Red Cross, Occupy Sandy, any of the other sources outside brought medical assistance and supplies into the clinic here and to the community in general?
Yes, Occupy Sandy and People's Relief, they've been like great. People's Relief helped start this clinic, and they've just been continuing to bring extra services in here. You know, they're trying to staff doctors here and volunteers every day, so, you know, the residents can get help with prescription refills or writing a new prescription or so. So they've been like great. Thank God for them. The National Guards has, you know, they played a great part also. We wouldn't have any electricity if it wasn't for the National Guards. They were out here like 2 o'clock in the morning hooking these generators up. And the Red Cross, that's who actually got me in contact with the regional manager of CVS. So they played an important part also. FEMA, the people that are on the ground, they're great. But when you speak to these people that's at these offices, you know, they act like you're lying about something. You know, they're denying a lot of people on the first floor assistance, but they're giving assistance to someone that's on the seventh floor. So you mean to tell me that the water just evaporated from second floor on up and just skipped the first floor?
A larger room in the community center serves as a distribution point for relief supplies. Outside, people line up in the rain waiting for the hot meals trucked in by the Red Cross. Relief supplies are stacked in piles around the room. Volunteers sort them, laying them out on tables, preparing to hand them out. Nelson Sarway, program director at the Ocean Bay Community Center, has been coordinating the distribution of relief supplies to the area residents since the storm.
On the weekdays, you're talking about to the tune of between 275 and 300. And on the weekends, especially when we have extra things to give out as well, we've had as many as 3,000 to 4,000 that's come up. But you can say roughly on the weekends, you're talking about between 800,000 people.
How are your supplies holding out?
You know, we've been fortunate enough that through private donations and organizations who have come, witnessed, seen how our operation, you know, runs and basically wanted to get the supplies up to us. But it's an ongoing effort and you're always in need of supplies. I mean, children can't have enough diapers. You're talking about toiletries, paper towels, toilet tissue, cleaning products. These are things that are constantly in need. So as, you know, we're getting things, the demand is still always there.
How long do you see this continuing?
Just yesterday, there was a gentleman online that I was, you know, talking to, and he was his first time on the line and said he, up until now, and you're talking about almost a month and a half, almost 2 months, where he still doesn't have heat or hot water. So, I mean, while we do applaud the efforts that's going on the outside of getting things back up to normal, there's still a lot of residents who, you know, are still dealing with the effects from the storm. So at least in the immediate future, I don't see where you would see a decrease in the amount of supplies, because you cannot arbitrarily say, well, this person doesn't have a need, especially if they lived in an apartment that was totally flooded out.
The city is now putting pressure on the volunteer relief services here and in Coney Island and Red Hook, Staten Island, and other poor neighborhoods in the flood zones to start shutting down. Officials say it's time for people to go back to their regular doctors, to get back to life as usual. But Action Senator Executive Director Doe says the problems brought on by Hurricane Sandy were piled on top of problems that have been present in this community for years, and the relief efforts need to continue.
We were already in a third world country in the heart of the United States, and rather than being a beacon of hope, we were a beacon of sadness and despair. The task was already daunting before Sandy came, and you have to take your bites of the elephant, small bites at a time, because if you look at in totality what we were dealing with prior, it's too big, and you'll choke, and you won't be able to help. So It's an ongoing relief effort. It's 6 weeks in. It's not going to end in 6 weeks. It's not going to end in 6 years. To lift people really out of being 6 feet in the grave, 1 foot at a time can be the same measurements of 12 years at a time for each foot that you lift them. And if you want to look at that analogy, then we had lifted them maybe 1 foot out of a 6 foot grave, and now they've slipped back in 3 more feet.
Aria Doe is the executive director of the Action Center at the New York City Housing Authority's Rockaway Housing Complex.